This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Conor Nolan, it's brilliant to talk to you on the Hub on iRadio. How are you?
Good, Louise. How are you? How are things?
Not too bad at all. Now, of course, you joined us on the show to shed a bit of light on a very important topic, our mental health. Thanks a million for talking about this, because we're going to break down a little bit of the stigma.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, let's go back to the beginning. What inspired you to first speak publicly about your own mental health journey?
It's a funny path how it happened originally. You know, I was in college and I was going through a rough time with my mental health. I was really struggling with anxiety and, I had really fallen into that whole, you know, the taboo thing of you're not meant to talk about what's going on in your head and people might think things about you. And I started opening up to friends of mine and I realized that, geez, you know, once you talk about mental health and you, once one person mentions it, it kind of breaks the ice and other people can kind of come forward and say their bit. So in my friend group, I kind of became the sort of the group counselor, if you will. You know, we'd be on nights out and people would tell me if something was bothering them. And I loved that because that gave me a sense of helping and all that cracking. And then I just had the idea. I was in there was a nightclub in Galway called Carbon. I think it's closed now, but I had the idea in there one night in my second year of college that I would love to have this conversation with everyone, but of course that's not mathematically possible. Yeah. And that was, I had the idea to write my book. And from the release of that, then I started talking in schools and here we are now. One thing led to another, really.
Brilliant. And it's so great to even talk about this because, you know, yourself and Tiernan Harris make up Normal. You share your expertise in breaking down the stigma around mental health by speaking in schools, colleges and businesses. When did you decide to form this alliance? There was obviously a need for it.
Yeah, so well, funny enough, like the alliance there, as you mentioned, goes way back to the start. Myself and Tiernan did a talk together to a business class of his back in 2019. This is before the book even came out. And then after the book came out and a couple of schools started getting in contact, we said we'd go at it together. I was doing the speaking and Tiernan was helping me with, like, you know, the background things and the business side of things and all this and the stuff that I wouldn't have a clue about. And actually this year now, like, it's gone from strength to strength every year, but the last academic year now it's really taken off because we have done a project with the European Solidarity Corps through Lairgus Ireland. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing that for the last academic year with funding from them. And We've been giving students like surveys before and after our talks to measure the impact we've been having, and we're using that to sort of make a report at the end of it. So this year has been madness. We've had about, I think, 17 or 18 school visits and the feedback has been phenomenal. So it was great to get that support from Lairgus and yeah, it's just been such a fulfilling, enjoyable year. Absolutely.
I know that both yourself and Tiernan, you come from rural areas in Cavan. Yes. And Mayo, where mental health maybe sometimes isn't openly discussed. How often do you think that there's a stigma or, you know, has that shaped your understanding of the stigma that might be attached to mental health?
Completely. You know, I saw a lot of it growing up and I often mention in my talks, like, you know, I was diagnosed with anorexia when I was 13 and I was going to counselling every week when I was in my first year of school. And it was this kind of thing. You know, I never told my friends or my classmates where I was going. I used to tell them I was going to the dentist. You know, keep it all under the covers. And so that really kind of shaped my whole perception of, okay, this is something you don't talk openly about. But I do think, since COVID, I think we have come a fair ways. I think it's so on social media and stuff, mental health has become more of a normalized conversation, but we still have a long way to go. And I think among everyone, but like among the groups I talk to, I think particularly among young men, we still have a long way to go in terms of normalizing that conversation, outlining that, you know, you don't have to keep these things quiet. It's okay to speak about these things. You don't have to be still in the storm, as the phrase goes. So the stigma is still there. I'd say we have about 10 to 20% of the work done, but we have a long way to go yet.
Yeah. I know you mentioned, obviously, you've got funding now, which is a massive achievement, especially for the likes of mental health, because we hear so many people crying out for the funding. So it's great that you've secured it. But what does it mean now that you could do with this funding that you wouldn't have been able to do before?
So it was the big thing for us this last academic year was, it enabled us to go further, to visit more schools, you know, to take more time out of work, because we both work full time here. Yeah. Doing a PhD as well. So it enabled us to give more of our time to it, you know, help us with our travel costs and these different things. And like for me, myself, you know, I hope like in the next year, I'm actually in the process of leaving my own job. I'm hoping to go full time at this. So that's a decision I couldn't have made without the support of an organisation like Lairgus, you know, knowing that those funding opportunities are there. So it's taken the pressure off us, but also most importantly, and this has been invaluable to us, we're now going into schools knowing in the back of our minds that we have the support of a recognised organisation, and you know, schools know this, and that's given us a boost in confidence that, you know, you cannot put a price on. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's often this idea that men need to man up or toughen up. What message have you got to give to a young man hearing that right now?
I actually made a video about this exact thing about a month ago, and I said, for a lot of, you know, men, the terms man up and speak up can actually mean the same thing. It's like, you know, this old phrase, as you mentioned there, man up, has existed for so long. Mm-hmm. And then the idea of men speaking up, I know there, like last month was Men's Mental Health Month, and the term speak up has come up a lot more. But I made the point that for a lot of men, they're almost afraid to speak up because of they're afraid of that vulnerability. They're afraid of showing that level of emotion, in case of how they're perceived by their peers, how they're perceived by families or partners, this kind of thing. So I make the point that, you know, we can tell men to speak up. It's still going to take a lot of effort on their behalf. And I say to any young man struggling, please, you know, talk to friends, talk to family members, and recognize at the same time that it does take strength to do that. And so whenever you do it, you know, pat yourself on the back for it and recognize that you've taken a great step forward.
Yeah. What kind of stuff do you talk about in the talks when you go to schools? Because I think I find we talk a lot about mental health, but then in theory, putting it into action, sometimes, you know, we fall down on, you know, people kind of have the conversation about you need to mind your mental health, take time for yourself, you know, you need to have a balance in life and in work or school or college, but actually putting that into practice and allowing yourself to take time and take a step back and to have your boundaries is really important. So what kind of stuff are you teaching when you do these talks?
Exactly. As you mentioned there, like, you know, we say look after the mental health, but the question is how, you know, in the same way, if we say look after the body, you know, easier said than done, you know, how do you go about it? So what I do is, like, in our talks, I kind of, in some, you know, sometimes in schools they might ask you to focus on one thing. So I was talking in a school in County Louth a few months ago, and they asked me to speak particularly on body image. But, you know, I'll go through sort of my own anecdotes. So my anorexia diagnosis when I was younger, the battles I've had with anxiety, for me personally, how that interfered with social life, personal life, growing up, going to college, these different things. And to every anecdote, there's a lesson, because, you know, you can take the facts and the tools and the tactics and you can say them to a class in 5 minutes, but they're not going to remember. I find that what helps people bring the message home with them is through the story and the emotion, and you're giving them a human side to latch on to. So I'm very open. I bring them through sort of my own teenage and early 20s story, the things that happened to me and what I learned in counselling, you know, how effective it was, the sort of tools and tactics that I'm able to use now, you know, in my everyday life to look after my mental health, you know, things for anxiety management. I touch on how, you know, I the very pleasant surprise I learned that a lot of the things that are good for the body are good for the mind. So, like, the importance of sleep, especially for teenagers, you know, scrolling through the phone, not getting enough sleep, this kind of thing, how that's so important, how, you know, how well you eat and how well you're staying hydrated, these kind of things.
Yeah.
The simple things that you might overlook and how these play a massive role, not just in your physical health, but also in your mental health. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really try and drive home is I use the example of, we tend sometimes to talk about mental health in quite a passive manner. So, mm-hmm. you know, if someone had a broken leg, you know, you'd say they have a broken leg, they're going to hospital, they're going to get that sorted. Whereas if someone's anxious, we tend to say, oh, that's just the way they are.
Yeah.
So I really outline to a young audience, in the same way that you can repair a broken leg or repair, you know, stomach problems, you can repair your mental health as well. You know, you can work on your thought patterns, you can learn these sort of tactics. So empowering them that change is possible, in a sense.
Yeah, I love that. If there was one major change that you would like to see in how Ireland treats mental health, what would it be?
It's a great question. I think, do you know what? I think we're on the right track in terms of, like, I see there's more programs in schools now, you know, talking about these things. I was actually doing a recording with Bodywise during the week about a program they're bringing into school for body image and things like that. I do think we are on the right track. I think we just have to keep going. It's like, I think we are doing the right thing, but we have a lot more work to do. I think, though, in terms of, you know, for the average person listening, you know, if a friend comes to you, if a partner comes to you, or even a colleague or an acquaintance, I suppose be there for the conversation, you know, be there to listen. And I know that sounds so overly simplified, but I think if we can provide that openness, you know, for that conversation for those around us, they will then do the same for us, and everyone benefits. So yeah, tough question, but I think we just have to kind of keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years we'll see a massive change in Ireland's relationship with mental health.
Yeah. Conor, it's been so lovely to have you back on the show. It's great to connect with you again, and you've been, done some Trojan work over the last couple of years. But if people want to reach out, if they want to check out all of your resources and find out more, where is the best place to go?
So our website is called normalmentalwellbeing.com. You can find our contact details there. But the best place to get me directly is on Instagram. So it's Connor_N7. That's the handiest way to get through to me.
Brilliant. Connor, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to chatting to you again on The Hub really, really soon.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.